The new battle followed months of military planning and political measures. The force assembled for the assault was more than three times the size of that in April, and included two Iraqi units. Another lesson learned from April was that the insurgents responded by attacking supply lines, so the Marines conducted a huge logistical buildup, stocking a mountain of food, ammunition, fuel, and other provisions that would enable the severed bases near the city to operate at full bore for 15 days without being resupplied. In addition to using stocks on hand, some 11 million rounds of ammunition were brought in. Also, U.S. units were dispatched to the Iraqi-Syrian border to close ports of entry to all military-aged males who might seek to reinforce the insurgents. Meanwhile, a concerted effort was made to encourage civilians to leave the city. The U.S. count was that by the time the offensive was launched, only 400 civilians remained, out of a city of perhaps 250,000. "It almost looked like the town was abandoned," remembered Colonel Michael Shoup, commander of the 1st Marine Regiment, which would play a major role in the assault. Also, the interim Iraqi government was prepared to support the attack in its public statements. On the cold, rainy day of November 8, several big 2,000-pound bombs were dropped on the railroad tracks on the northern edge of the city, signaling the beginning of the attack. Soon afterward, some 6,500 Marines, 1,500 Army soldiers, and 2,000 Iraqi troops launched an assault on Fallujah that lasted about 10 days. On top of that, there were 2,500 Navy personnel in support roles, medics, doctors, Seabees, and air liaison officers. "It was huge, more than three times the size of the forces used in April," said Tulin, who in August drafted the battle plan for Second Fallujah. It was probably the toughest battle the U.S. military had seen since the end of the Vietnam War more than three decades earlier. It certainly was the hardest combat seen by U.S. troops during 13 years of military operations in and around Iraq. The fighting was intense, close, and personal, the likes of which has been experienced on just a few occasions since the Battle of Hue City in the Vietnam War, Sattler and Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Wilson, one of his planners, as an article stated in the Marine Corps Gazette. Marine units moved into the city from an unexpected direction, not from the east, where they had a big base and where many of the hundreds of insurgent bunkers had been built to face them, but from the northwest. The 3rd Battalion of the 5th Marines advanced south with three companies and tanks abreast, in a systematic block-by-block clearing movement called the squeegee, preceded by rolling mortar and artillery fires, with airstrikes employed whenever a hard point was encountered. West, the former Pentagon official and expert on urban warfare, who was embedded with the Marines, wrote in the Marine Corps Gazette. An Army artillery unit fired what it called shake-and-bake missions, using incendiary white phosphorus smoke rounds to flush out entrenched insurgents, and then high explosive rounds to kill them.